You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Idaho Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan's Educational Indoctrination Task Force is meeting for the third time today with the focus on alleged leftist teachings in our state's higher education institutions. Now, even though this task force is aimed at students and their education, students' voices haven't been allowed to be heard during these meetings. So today, we've decided to talk with students about their thoughts on this. Joining us live are Shiva Rajbhandari, a Boise High School student, Yvonne Shen, a student at North Junior High in Boise, as well as Boise State University student Graf Kirk and Senator Melissa Wintrow. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Morning, Gemma.
Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So I'd like to start with Senator Wintrow, if I could. Senator, for those who are not familiar, can you quickly give us the background of the Lieutenant Governor's Task Force?
Yes, thanks for having me, Jenna. Gemma, I think real quickly, her task force, I think, is a planned response that was probably coordinated with legislative happenings this year with House Bill 377 that basically tried to censor content in public and higher education regarding discussions about racism, sexism, and so forth. We see nationwide people, I think, attacking education and teachers right now. And as I said on the Senate floor that day, it's because it's a backlash against the, I think, what the nation is kind of awakening to is actually racism in institutions, especially after the murder of George Floyd, and so many folks were trying to address it. So I think this is a planned attack, and she's trying to, I think, promote a certain ideology with misinformation and using her office to do so. And you'll see a one-sided conversation in that, which I think is really, really troubling and quite dangerous because it's diverting the attention from what really matters in public education today.
And we should note that even though we said today's meeting will be focusing on higher ed, the former two meetings looked at K through 12. So Shiva, you were actually, you know, in school at Boise High when there were allegations that started circulating about teachers indoctrinating students. Talk to me about when you started hearing these rumblings.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I want to say that unequivocally in public schools, there is no indoctrination, especially of leftist ideologies. To me, the most troubling thing about this task force is the lack of stakeholder representation. This is a conversation that affects Idaho students. During the legislative session, students filled the stands to hold lawmakers accountable when they were voting on House Bill 377, as I'm sure you remember. We've written letters to the editor. We've spoken with our elected officials like Senator Wintrow. We've been on Idaho Matters, and yet, the task force hasn't heard from a single student. And that seems to be a common thing among all these discussions on social justice education policy. Even during the testimony for HB 377, I had to stand up and inform the committee that I'd missed class to be there in order to get my 2-minute testimony out. Our voices are silenced. So we show up to the task force with signs or painted shirts. And even then we are kicked out of the auditorium and denied our right to speak. And what I think, Gemma, is that this is a really dangerous precedent. That this task force is setting. When policies rush through, like HB 377, without considering the voices of all stakeholders, that's a warning sign for the stake of our democracy. And the irony of it all is that the task force keeps pointing to accurate teachings of history and claiming that teachers who have been working harder than ever this past year to accommodate teaching online and in person with record low attendance are communists who hate their country. I do not believe that Idaho teachers are communists who hate America. In fact, anyone willing to serve the community by choosing to teach deserves our respect, not legislative condemnation like we've seen. This country was founded on the ideals of democracy and public participation in government, and that we are taught in school. Protecting First Amendment rights, checks and balances to keep big government from too much interference and local control. So this whole task force is undermining, you know, our democracy and what Idaho was founded on. Mm-hmm. And that is troubling to me.
Graf, as I mentioned, you are a student at Boise State. BSU has been targeted by conservative Idaho lawmakers, as well as the Idaho Freedom Foundation, as a place where this alleged indoctrination is running rampant. Talk to us about your experiences.
Yeah, I think that just the term indoctrination is really, honestly, it's frankly insulting and demeaning. You know, we've been struggling to be seen at these hearings and these meetings that will go on to make some really big changes to our education. And some lawmakers are seeing us as just part of that system of indoctrination that they're alleging. This is a narrative that can really make it easy to discount our voices right off the bat. It makes us sound like we're just brainwashed sheep, anything that we say. Frankly, I don't see myself as a brainwashed sheep. I don't think many of my peers would appreciate being seen that way either. I see myself as an Idahoan who has invested years and tens of thousands of dollars into my education. And that's something I did with the belief that it will prepare me to be a more discerning citizen with knowledge of a skilled craft. I think that students should be really angry with this. And I think this belittling indoctrination narrative should end.
Yvonne, you're a junior high school student. And I think, you know, there might be this idea that, you know, being as young as you are, that you may not be able to discern whether you're being indoctrinated. You know, I have a middle school child myself. And yeah, I get concerned about what's being taught at school, you know, just making sure that, you know, that frankly, that he's being taught the proper history. So with that said, Yvonne, what has your experience been like as well?
Well, to me, the real issue is that while the task force is claiming that we're being taught critical race theory and all that stuff, we're really not even learning the most important aspects of history to begin with. For example, I was recently doing research on Asian American history, and I stumbled across information about the Hell's Canyon Massacre of 1887, where 34 Chinese miners working along the Snake River were murdered by 7 white men and had their bodies mutilated before getting dumped in the river. Their murderers were found innocent by an all-white jury. And when I first read those words, I was so in shock that I just walked straight into my mom's office while she was in a meeting and started rambling to her about it. 34 Asian men were killed in cold blood, and the murderers were found innocent. And I never even learned anything like that in school. All we ever really learned in school about history was that Black people were enslaved and Abraham Lincoln freed them, with a sprinkle of, oh yeah, there's this thing called the Trail of Tears where millions of Indigenous people suffered, but it's okay because Christopher Columbus discovered America. We never really learned about Chinese labor workers with unfair wages and constantly facing racist attacks. We never really learned that Christopher Columbus was truly a horrible person. We never learned about the things like the Tulsa Race Massacre. And those are only a few examples. In fact, almost all the history we did learn in school was a cherry-picked version of the truth that seemed to leave out most of the darker and more racist parts of our country's past. But knowledge is powerful. Even if schools won't teach these things, we will find ways to learn them ourselves. It's very important to remember that acknowledging parts of our darker past is not automatically saying that America sucks. Mistakes are learning tools, but first we have to learn those mistakes before we can move forward. We need to learn the true and whole history of our country, even if it is dirty or makes people uncomfortable. If it makes certain people uncomfortable learning about it, imagine how terrible it was for people to actually experience it. The truth needs to be told.
As I'm hearing all three of you students speak, I think in a way, and this is why many adults, many people in power don't want this history to be taught, is because it's a reckoning. And Graf, in fact, Lieutenant Governor McGeehan has made it clear that she doesn't want to hear from you. She does not want to hear from students. She has gone as far to say, and I'm quoting, "This is not a dialogue." When you listen to what Yvonne just said, I mean, what are your thoughts with that? Because I do think that there are just many, frankly, Caucasian people who don't want to know about this history.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's a lot of this history that is difficult. but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't address it. A lot of the problems that have happened throughout history, we still see today. I'll go back and touch back on what I said earlier with how education is really a wonderful thing. It's supposed to give us the skills to address these problems, and knowing our history is really, really important. What I would say is that it's time for teachers to really step up to the plate, and knowing that they have the support of their students, to say that they will pledge to teach the truth, because that's really important, and we're really counting on teachers to do that for us. So. That we can be good stewards of the world.
Senator Wintrow, this is not the first time in our nation's history that we have seen educators and the public education system coming under attack by lawmakers. In fact, we saw this back in the 1980s when the Reagan administration launched a similar assault with the hope of privatizing schools. With that said, I mean, here we are repeating history. What do you think is the end goal, the end game of this task force? I mean, is it privatizing schools? I would not think that that would be the case.
Well, I think you raise a really good point, Gemma, and I think there's been a lot of discussion and writing about what you just said. You know, when the Reagan administration brought the document, A Nation at Risk, it was about mediocrity, and it was a different angle, but it certainly was a big attack on teachers. And I think, you know, this is right out of that playbook. In every session, I have seen bills that are just whittling away at public education and trying to siphon money from our general fund to go to public or to private schools. And over, we refer back to the Constitution that requires the state to fund a uniform and free system of public education. And quite frankly, the Freedom Foundation and has fed this for a long time is they don't believe that government should be educating folks or in the education business. So that's directly apropos to our Constitution. But I see it on a regular basis, folks trying to siphon that money away and just whittle away, just constantly whittling away, which I think, you know, is really, fundamentally it's wrong because it goes against the Constitution that we say we uphold, and it is damaging to our students' education. You walked in
And Shiva, you have become very active as a student advocate. And what made you start paying attention and wanting not just your voice to be heard, but other students' voices to be heard?
Yeah, I feel like this was the first year that I really paid attention to Idaho politics as a whole. And what I saw go down really, you know, terrified me. These legislators, I mean, they are under the control of a big money out of state conservative think tank, which is then funneled by the Idaho Freedom Foundation. And they're not really concerned. They're out of touch with what regular Idahoans want, what regular Idahoans think. And they don't seem to care about stakeholder voices. And I think as students, sometimes our power to make change in the world is overlooked. But when I saw the stands be filled during the vote on HB 377 and the movement that I've seen this summer in backlash to this, you know, task force is I'm really inspired, and I'm really proud of what my generation and what students have done and how far we've come. And I mean, frankly, if I could do anything, if I could say anything to Lieutenant Governor McGeehan, I would thank her because she's training us to enter politics when we are of age, and we are going to turn out in mass numbers. We're going to vote like, you know, our schools depend on it. And then we're going to run for office, and we're going to change the way our state works. And we're going to make sure that stakeholder voices are accounted for. So, I mean, really that brings in the question, what do Idaho students and what do Idaho schools need? Well, I'll tell you, we need statewide funding for full day education. We need funding for school counselors and mental health professionals. We need funding for tech classes in welding, electricians, plumbing. We need property tax relief and a way to stop rising levies on neighborhoods to pay teachers by fully funding education at the statewide level. We need funding of community college. for high school university level classes. That's what the vast majority of Idahoans want. And that's what, when we are in power, when students are trained and ready to run for office, that's what's going to happen for Idaho. So
my message— Shiva, right there, I do need to cut you off. We are running out of time. I apologize for having to cut you off, but I so appreciate all of you taking the time to talk today. As I noted, since students have not gotten a chance to talk at this task force, we thought it was time they had a voice. Shiva Rajbhandari, a student with Boise High, Yvonne Shen, a student at North Junior High, and Graf Kirk, a student at BSU, along with Senator Melissa Wintrow. Thank you for your time. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.
Thank you, Jill.